Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be confused with medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Red Pill 78. As always, my name is Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector, and this is another edition of Red Pill News for Saturday Night Live Stream. Scheduled to join us in the studio tonight is Jose Jaime Masson Flota. He is an award-winning Mexican investigative journalist and researcher. He's been a journalist for darn near 50 years at this point. He's won accolades and awards in his native country. He's received recognition around the world for things that he's reported on, and it's quite a wide range of things. But he is best known for his reporting on the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. And Jaime is scheduled to be here tonight to discuss the discovery made in the Atacama Desert, in the Peruvian desert near Nazca, where the Nazca lines are carved into the desert, of a series of bodies that are mummified and are not human. Now, there has been an ongoing investigation into the discovery of these bodies since 2016, 2017, and it's kind of just exploded in the last year due to the fact that there was a hearing held in the Mexican Congress. So do me a favor, sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, and we're going to be right back in just a moment after this. Sell in May and go away? Well, that says it all. David Brady warns the S&P 500 could nosedive to 1,000 points. That would erase 14 years of gains. And CEOs like Jamie Dimon have been warning about 1970s-era stagflation coming back to America. And key indicators like the Q1 GDP numbers at 1.6% or persistent inflation, both of these point to stagflation coming back to our country. And you see, the 1970s was a lost decade for the stock market. But you know what? Gold and silver, they exploded higher. From 1972 to late 1974, gold gained 240%. In silver, it surged 315%. And you know who understands that? China, Russia, India, and South Africa. All of their central banks, precious metals buying sprees have not slowed. You know, those same countries that comprise BRICS, the brand new alternative to the U.S. dollar. Protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver and you're going to be okay. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just make sure to mention my channel, Red Pill 78, and this show, Red Pill News, and you will always get best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee-for-life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that no-fee-for-life IRA on qualifying rollovers. Just give them a call today at 888 888- 857-6092 to get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a consumer affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Once again, call them today at 888-857-6092. Mention me, Zach Payne, and when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us. And I regret to inform you that for some reason, my guest has not arrived yet. I'm hoping that he's going to show up here in just a couple of minutes. But I suppose if he doesn't, perhaps I'll just go through the findings of these strange and alien. I say alien in terms of the fact that they're not human bodies that have been discovered in Peru. So thank you very much. If you are here, if you haven't yet, please do me a favor. Hit that like button. Help us out by sharing the show. And I know this doesn't happen often, but occasionally it does. You never know what's going on in somebody's life. Maybe what they have come up unexpectedly. But I have attempted to call him. I haven't gotten a response. I've also sent him all of the relevant information. We scheduled this a couple of weeks ago. So I hope he's okay. I guess that's what I'll say. All right. So I guess let me just take you to the main website for the actual. Oh, and of course, I need to put it up on screen here. Let me get this pulled up. So these bodies were discovered by tomb raiders of sorts in a portion of Peru on the coast. It's near Nazca. Now, you may know of Nazca because they have the Nazca lines. Let me show you what those look like. These are some pretty interesting formations that were discovered in the desert only because planes started flying over them. You can see that they are just a massive size. This is not something that you can appreciate from the ground when you're standing there. It really doesn't look like anything at all. But clearly, when you're flying above them, it's quite obvious that a lot of work was put into this by some very ancient peoples. Now, it would appear that these lines are at least thousands of years old. They have been there for quite some time. As far as I'm aware, the exact people who created them is not fully known, but you have a couple of, well, you have a bird, you have what looks to be maybe a stag, you have a monkey, you have a spider right there. And just for scale, here is an image from above with what appears to be that stag, and then another thing that might be like a tree or something. And you can see right there is a small building right next to it. You know, there's some people. There's a vehicle. The lines are just massive. And it's always been a mystery. You know, the question of who created the Nazca lines and why were these Nazca lines created? Now, you may have heard of another set of mummified bodies that were discovered in the Atacama Desert several years ago. It was popularized by a man by the name of Stephen Greer, Dr. Stephen Greer. He's also behind an organization called the Disclosure Project. And several years ago, he had been working with Stanford University in California to do a sort of post-mortem and genetic testing on these bodies to discover what exactly they were. So I'm going to show you here what those bodies look like. The reason I show you this is because these bodies were found in close proximity to the other bodies that we were supposed to talk about tonight. And they have some similar anatomical features, but they're not exactly the same. And the bodies that comprise this particular project, the Nazca mummies that we were going to discuss tonight, even among them, there are various differences in the anatomical features that these bodies exhibit. But, you know, some of the things that are in commonality between all of them is that they have what appears to be elongated skulls. They're not human skulls. They also don't have teeth. They appear to just have bony plates that make up the parts of their mouth, almost kind of like an insect. They also each have various numbers of ribs. And you can see here in their legs, unlike a human, humans have two bones in the arm, in the forearm, and then two bones in the bottom of the leg. all of these bodies only have one bone in each of their appendages. And their hips are also different. We have the ball and socket hips. These bodies do not have that. Now, these bodies that were part of the Atacama Desert collection, these two bodies from several years ago, they are very small. And they appear to be full grown. And that claim is based upon the investigation of the growth plates in the bones. Now, another thing that points to these not strictly being human genetic deformalities is the structure of their skulls. Now, human skulls have growth plates, and they're fused together, and as the body grows, you know, those plates expand, and human beings have the same growth plates in the same spots. These creatures here do not have the same type of growth plates in their skulls. They do have growth plates, but they're different. Now, it's been said by mainstream media sources that there is nothing strange about these bodies. However, I don't believe that to be true. I think that these are very, very strange. I don't believe that they are us. I think that they are something else. I do not have any information as to where they come from. What is their provenance? I don't know, only that they were alive on planet Earth at some time in the past. And that's about as much as I can say. Now, here is a scan of the internals. This is an older CT scan that was done on one of the Atacama bodies. And then if we go and take a look at the Nazca alien mummies, they've also done the same thing. So taking a look at these various specimens that we have, they have them broken up into four different groups. Different species. So they have two different species, ones that they identify as humanoid reptiles, another one which is some type of humanoid hybrid, and then they also have another that is an insectoid, and then a series of other parts that have been discovered as well. Now, the one thing that's in common, besides the fact that these do not have a human anatomy, is the fact that they all have what are called tridactyl hands. They are three-fingered hands. And despite the fact that each of these various bodies are not the same as the other, there are a couple that have commonalities with each other. But overall, it seems to be different species or different genetic makeups. But they all do have these three-fingered hands. And when these were first announced several years ago, I think I first heard about it in 2017 or 2018, there was a lot of reporting that came out to suggest that they were kind of like, have you ever seen that mermaid, that fake mermaid that was part of, like a circus sideshow? Let me show you. Circus sideshow mermaid fake. Here we go. All right. So this right here is an amalgamation of various parts from various species. You have some sort of skull. Looks like maybe like a monkey skull or something like that. You have the tail of a fish. You have a variety of other bones. And it's all held together with paper mache. Now, the reason we know this is because it's been examined. It's been examined by professionals, and they have, you know, pretty easily been able to debunk it as something real. You know, I'm sure you guys have seen all kinds of videos of people faking things and, you know, posting it on TikTok or posting it to social media, wherever it might be. And when they do, another thing that those fakes have in common is that they never really let you get a good look at whatever it is. It's always just like a little glimpse, a little flash, very short video. They certainly don't invite the scientific community to come and examine it. They don't let medical professionals come and examine it. And if they did, you know, then they would find that there is, you know, there's stitching in this body. There is paper mache in this body. There might be skin that's used from some other animal or mammal or, you know, fish or reptile. But again, it's an amalgamation, and it's pretty obvious when you take a look at it. It's very different with the case of with these Nazca mummies. Since the moment that these were found by these grave robbers, maybe I shouldn't call them grave robbers. I mean, that's basically what they are. They're going into these tombs, into this cave in the Peruvian desert, and they're searching for pre-Columbian treasures. It's kind of like Indiana Jones if he was a local and he was, you know, picking stuff up and selling it to the highest bidder. But take a look at one of these hands. Here's another interesting aspect of this case, is that these creatures, whatever they might be, they also have these metallic implants. And if I can zoom, hold on. I don't want to go on to the next one yet. Let me zoom in here. You can see here that there is this disc, this golden disc, which has some relief pattern on it, and it's embedded into the hand of this being, this creature. Now, there is uniformity of skin covering on each of these creatures, whatever they might be. That means that there's no signs of stitching. There is no signs of multiple things being put together. When you do a CT scan and an X-ray and an MRI, they can make out the internal structures of these bodies. They can see that there are tendons, there are ligaments. In certain cases, there are internal organs. There is even the presence of sexual organs in at least some of them. They believe that they have been able to determine that at least one of them is a female. And you can also see from the number of bones that make up this hand, and that's obviously not a human hand. However, they do have fingernails, and they also have fingerprints, and their skin itself seems to have almost like a keratinized quality, like scales and like reptile skin. And this is just one hand that they have been able to date back thousands of years. Now, again, I want to stress that each one of these things that I say have been discovered is based upon a wide-ranging investigation that's been done by a variety of medical and scientific professionals from all over the globe. It's not just Peruvian doctors or Peruvian scientists. I mean, there are doctors and scientists from everywhere, you know, even from here in America. Now, a lot of the medical community, and especially those that are connected to the, you know, authoritative sources, quote unquote, they immediately discount this as a hoax, as something that was just hobbled together by some sort of charlatan. And they won't actually take a look at any of the information. Here's another thing about these bodies. They're covered in this fine white powder. And this fine white powder is what has allowed these bodies to be preserved for as long as they have, at least, you know, 1,200 years or so. It's diatomaceous earth. Diatomaceous earth is an interesting substance because it absorbs all of the moisture out of whatever it is covering, and it can just, you know, soak it all up, and then it lets it evaporate. You can actually use diatomaceous earth as a natural insecticide, because what it does, it's earth. It's like a clay that's made up of little diatoms, and those little diatoms are very sharp. And when an insect walks over those diatoms, it slices them open. And then the moisture is drawn out of their bodies, and it kills them. So if you've got problems with bugs, you can get a big bag of diatomaceous earth, and you can sprinkle it around, and if the bugs walk over it, it'll kill them. But it's a great non-pesticide. It's a non-chemical pesticide that you can use. I use it in plants and in soil pots, use it in, you know, all kinds of things that I don't want to use nasty chemicals on. And because this has such a powerful anti-insecticide property and also an desiccant property, that is why these bodies have been able to survive as long as they have. Now, Here is an X-ray of that one three-fingered hand that I showed you that has that metallic implant in it. You can also see that the bones of the main part of the hand below the fingers, that's clearly not human. And you can also get a look inside at the structure of the hand. You can see inside the bones. You can also see the skin itself. You can see the ligaments and tendons. You can see the muscles. And they have done genetic testing on the soft tissues of these bodies, or at least one or a couple of them. And they're not human. They don't have human DNA. You know, there's only so many DNA combinations you can make, and so it has a certain percentage of commonality with humans, but it's not human. And so, therefore, it is something other than us. What is it? I don't know, man. And I am fascinated by this stuff. So the other thing about it is that as it shows right here with these various different types, the reptile-like ones, I believe, have hollow bones, which is kind of like a bird. In thinking about what these things most closely align with, those tridactyl hands, I mean, that's like close to like a velociraptor or something like that, because I mean, or a dinosaur of some kind, which is pretty interesting. Now I'm going to show you some of the actual scans that they've done. Now these are the anatomical features of the humanoid reptiles. They got the three-fingered hands. They are not distortions. They've never been identified in medical literature before. There is no congenital disease that would comprise such a deformity. The skeletons of these hands and feet are anthropometrically correlated. So that means that they have three fingers and three toes. They have these strange skulls as well. And just thinking about the structure of human skulls and the practice of binding of human heads, I'm sure you've seen the elongated skulls that they can show because of those growth plates in the bones that they have been squeezed. They've been bound at a very young age to force it to grow into that sort of, you know, egg shape. These heads do not show any signs of having been bound. Fredo says, bummer that your guest hasn't shown up. Seems like an interesting topic. Maybe a time zone mix-up. Either way, good improvisation topic and mohap. Well, thank you very much. Yes, it is a bummer, definitely. Hopefully he'll reach out to me and we'll schedule another time. But he definitely knows that it was supposed to be Eastern time. The funny part is that he wanted to do it like, you know, like 48 hours after I reached out to him. He was like, how about tomorrow at 2 p.m.? And I was like, whoa, like I've got something else scheduled. I'm going to need you to come back later on. But anyways, you know, he confirmed. I don't know. Something might have happened. I'm not going to disparage him or anything like that. But I am going to say I'm disappointed. And thank you very much, you guys, for hanging out here anyway. Miracle Girly, no, we're not talking crystal skull. We're talking about the Nazca mummies of non-humanoid bodies that were discovered back in 2016 and have been investigated in a variety of different ways ever since then. So continuing on with the humanoid reptile species that they have, they don't seem to have eyes that are shaped like us. They don't have noses. They don't have teeth. Again, they don't have ears. They just have holes. They also don't appear to have any external genitals. They have like a cloaca, like a bird or a reptile would. They don't have any mammary glands. There is no obvious way that these things would be born, except in one of them, they found eggs. And of course, at this point, they're basically like stones inside there. But they can see that one of these eggs is actually containing something. Now, I mentioned that they have different numbers of ribs. That's very odd because, you know, we all have like the same number of ribs basically here on Earth. They have between 8 and 11 ribs. And they've given each of these creatures a name so that they can keep them separate. But here is just a diagram of the head of one of these humanoid reptile species. They've anatomically identified each and every one of the various parts of this creature. Now here is a close up of the hand of one of them, and you can see clearly that there is a nail, just like we have right here. However, it is much longer than a human nail would be. Here is the eggs that I was talking about. This is a frontal X-ray of one of these reptoid species. And you can see just a ton of ribs in there. The collarbone seems to be one collarbone that goes all the way across, unless perhaps it just connects very, very tightly in the center. And then this right here, this sort of dumbbell that's in the center, that's another one of those metallic implants. And these are those alleged eggs. And you can even see the belly distended just a little bit right there. They're calling this one Josephina. Now, I think that all four of these are the humanoid reptoid species. You can see that they each have the different number of ribs. There was even like a family of them that were found together. It was like a grouping of three. Let me see. Fredo says, have they discovered any speakin' spells with these creatures? They haven't discovered any speakin' spells, but they have discovered artifacts, which are fairly interesting as well. God, I haven't thought about a speaking spell since I was like 10 years old or something like that. So one of these things even lost its head. Now, the way that they were mummified is, to my knowledge, not like a commonly known mummification tool, but these bodies were positioned inside these caves in a manner that's consistent with other mummification methods that we've seen in primitive cultures around the world. You can see with this one that lost its head, they call it Victoria. It was placed sitting up. It was placed sitting up inside this cave. Now, because that head came off, they were able to get material from the neck muscles in this creature, and they were able to do some sort of genetic testing with that. So here is the one that they call Alberto. Let me pull this one up. And you can see that there is an eye slit and there definitely is an eye socket. And here is the entire body. Now, these ones were actually displayed in the Mexican Congress late last year. And there was kind of an uproar about them because, they come in with these things and say, hey, these are non-humanoid creatures, and we found them in Peru. That kind of gets people's tail feathers in a bunch. Here is another view of this creature standing up. Kind of looks like E.T., I'm not going to lie. And this is also very, very cool here. So what they've done is created a 3D CT scan model so that you can see inside this being, and you see the bone, you see the muscle, and you get a really good look at it. You can also see like the plates in the skull. My Rumble chat is not moving on screen. Thank you very much, Fredo. Let me see if I can fix that. Appreciate you, brother. Okay, that should be good. Thank you to Filter Dog 1 for the can. Thank you to Bacon Slut for the cookie. Thank you to Filter Dog for another can, and Jay for a can as well. So, yes, you can see now they're going through the model. Now, by doing this, it allows them to see absolutely every piece, and they can tell that it's anatomically consistent and that it hasn't been pieced together with anything else. I mean, whatever this thing is, it is all this thing, except for the implants. There's also brains. They have internal organs on these things. And they've also produced all of the measurements to show exactly what the sizes of these things are. And here is a model of the hand, one of those tridactyl hands. I don't think there's any sound on it. But I believe that, like I said, these guys have the hollow bones. Oops. All right. So let me show you a different one. Let's take a look at one of the hybrids, Maria. Maria looks a lot more like a human, but also not. You can see Maria is much bigger. She's as big as a human, but also bigger than a human. And she was also placed in a position in this cave. And although she has a nose, different sized eyes, definitely the elongated skull, but does not possess the correct ridges and skull sutures that you would expect in a human, still maintains the three-fingered hands, has fingernails, has fingerprints. And I think she even lost a finger at one point, so they've like reconnected that. But they've done x-rays, and Maria does actually have teeth. So, considering the fact that there are more features in common with humans, you might be able to make the argument that Maria is just a deformed human. However, the DNA sequencing says something completely different. Here is a video of them manipulating it. Just ear holes. Now, there are other creatures, other mummies that they've discovered in this cave system. There's the guy that's supposed to be here, Jaime Masson. There are other creatures that have been discovered and have actually been collected, but I don't believe that they have they've been shown to the public yet. And there's even more that are inside of this cave system. So they did carbon-14 dating, and this specimen is between 1,750 to 1,771 years old. Keith O'Higgins says, fingers phalanges don't follow human Fibonacci code that Earth nature follows. Six knuckles versus our three makes male maturation questionable. And here we go. So here is the DNA analysis. Maria has 33.6% commonality with humans. And looks like maybe there's a couple of different types of DNA analysis they did. So two of them show 33.6. Bacteria and other genomes, 18.42%, and then 47.9% unclassified. So that's unknown DNA. And then the University of St. Petersburg did their own in Russia, and they showed 23.8% commonality with 79.2% that is completely different. Here is a video showing the CT scan of Maria. Yes, we're going to keep that off.
Famosa. Okay,
so it's in Spanish. I don't know Spanish. Let me throw in subtitles. Okay, we observe that they have three toes and three feet on her hands and fingers. Got a general vision of the skeleton, an elongated head, no auricle. No hair either. They can see all the large joints. Elbows, shoulders, ankles, all of them intact.
Completamente intactos. Así vemos también la columna vertebral en su totalidad con las costillas. Ahí podemos
horizontal. Here's the fingerprints. You can see the fingerprints.
Conocemos normalmente, ¿no? Sí. Siguiente. Bueno.
Here are the sutures in her skull, which are similar but different from human sutures. There we go. This is humans right here. Okay, so here is an interior view of her skull. You can see her eye sockets are much, much larger. Does have a full set of teeth, though.
Es lo normal, es lo habitual.
Ah, okay, so here is, look at her skull. So the this portion of the skull is different. The axial, I forgot what it was, something about the cavity of the temporal bone where the jaw fits in is different. The skull also shows no signs of binding. She's got 12 ribs. You can see cartilage in the ribs besides the bone.
Una vista lateral donde vemos las costillas flotantes que son presentes, así como el
cuerpo. There are organs inside.
Lo único que queda, bueno, son
intestines mummified, it says.
Y los famosos coprolitos. Los coprolitos son heces desecadas.
All right, so here is another one. This appears to be the same as Maria, roughly. There are two different species, or excuse me, two different specimens. A little bit different, a little bit smaller. This one was only discovered in early this year. Again, the same type of elongated skull, same type of kind of leathery skin, also sitting in the same position. Here is a video of this one's internals. And again, you know, the important thing that I'm trying to get across here is that this is some kind of a creature. It's not hobbled together. And it's like a human, but not. Fascinating. Yes. Mammal, not humans, maybe not mammalian. I mean, clearly like a human, but not a human. The leathery skin seems, you know, reptilian. The teeth and the general anatomical structure appear human-like. Here is the skull. This skull also has metallic implants in it as well. Got one on the very top, on the temples, and then the forehead. This one has no sutures in the top of the skull. It's like an entirely enclosed skull. Trisha says, Maria looked like she died trying to protect herself, maybe from the other creatures. Well, so what these people would do, and it's not just Peruvians or ancient Peruvians, like when they would place a body in like a mummified state, like they would position them in like a living pose, like, you know, holding themselves or like, you know, sitting up. And there have been quite a few mummies around the world that have been discovered in positions like that, like in the Caucasus, and I think even in, like, you know, China and stuff like that. Those are humans, but I don't know if there's been, like, an analysis of any of the metal to determine exactly what it is, but I would certainly be interested to know what it could be. There is also a small child-like sized creature. This one appears to be almost crushed, or perhaps it's inside this other one. Maybe it's in stone or something. I'm not certain about this one. This one looks actually a very similar. It's got a couple of different structures anatomically that make it look like that Atacama body that I showed early in the show. All right, let's take a look at the insectoid, Nucari. Again, different, but still has the three fingers and toes, still got metallic implants, but it's got a different shaped head, a different shaped body, different anatomical features otherwise. This one has these bony projections coming out the back here. Not sure what that's about. Fairly small, too. 49 centimeters. This one also has the presence of at least two ovoid shapes in the abdomen, probably eggs. The presence of 10 metal implants, and they're calling these bony projections proto-wings. And there's some sort of shell on the dorsal part of the abdomen. Here's the x-ray of the head. You can see there's almost like a cuff, like a bracelet that it's wearing. And this is video of it. This is while it's being scanned. Keith says, diatomaceous earth is used in killing lawn grubs organically and also in global brewery filtration. FYI, largest concentration of it is in Ohio. ETs could be Buckeyes. Just saying. So this guy, Thierry Jamin, I think his name is, he's a French researcher who was initially contacted by the pre-Columbian artifact hunters, and they asked him to come and help with the investigation into whatever these things are. Fredo says, just want to thank you in advance for the nightmares I will inevitably have. Also, hit that thumbs up, y'all. Thank you, Fredo. Yeah, you know, I mean, they're all dead. I wouldn't think too hard on it. But now the website's not working. There we go. And I need to bring back. So, as I said earlier, there have been all the reporting on this basically has been that these are fakes, and that, you know, that they've been put together by someone or something, and that's really all that the Smithsonian and, you know, traditional Western scientific investigators have been willing to say. And even the Peruvian government, when Thierry Jamin initially contacted them and said, hey, you know, I've got these things and I think that you should look at them because we found them in the Peruvian desert. They were like, we're not interested. We don't want to see them. Now, they also came out and said that they were fake as well. And they were displayed in the Peruvian Congress, and there was hearings about them in the same way that there was in Mexico. And the last time that Jaime Masson and the other investigators went to Peru to talk about this with the Peruvian Congress, the Peruvian government raided the hearing and attempted to confiscate all of the bodies. which is really odd, considering the fact that they said they were fake and they wanted nothing to do with them. So I think the obvious question is, if they're fake, then why would they go to such great lengths to try to take them back from the people who are trying to figure out just, you know, whatever the heck they are? And to me, that adds just a very interesting wrinkle to the story. You know, despite the fact that I can't tell you where they came from or exactly what they are, and I don't know that we'll ever figure out what they are or where they're from. I think that any sort of investigation like this has great merit and value. And I've said this on many different occasions, but, you know, I am incredibly curious about the way the world works and the sorts of information that we are allowed to consume and investigate. And I've also said that I've experienced some unexplainable things in my lifetime, things that do not line up with any sort of acceptable explanations. And as a result of those things happening, I'm more inclined to be drawn to stuff like this. And quite frankly, the sorts of investigations into weird and wild and wonderful things, which is why I enjoy doing baseless conspiracies on Monday nights. It doesn't mean that everything that I talk about is a baseless conspiracy, but oftentimes it's called a baseless conspiracy. So here is another one of these creatures known as Wawida. This one appears to be childlike. Again, has a different skull. This one actually has hair on it. But anatomically, it's not a child. It's not a human. But again, three fingers, three toes. Way too many knuckles. It looks like it's fallen apart almost. Also has teeth. Like a child. But not. Roy G. Bibb says, read scripture and you will not have questions. Well, I mean, here's the thing. The Bible doesn't mention kangaroos. It also doesn't mention Tasmanian tigers. You know, there's a lot of things that aren't specifically in the Bible that we can see and witness, and we don't have any explanation for. So from my perspective, although the Bible gives me a framework for my understanding of the world, I think that there are things that exist out there that we simply don't know. We haven't experienced, we haven't been told, and we haven't actually gone down the road to investigate. So, to me, the existence of something that isn't mentioned in the Bible is not something that makes me question my faith. It just means that it hasn't been recorded. And I think that there's all kinds of stuff that hasn't been recorded. And so, you know, that's just me. That's just me. And I don't expect everybody to feel that way. Fredo says, seems like a lot are in fetal positions, like they were being clubbed like baby seals or taken on a road trip with Christine. hold on. Let me show you some mummies seated. I'll show you. This as a phenomenon, because, you know, and I think, okay, so like here's an old one. Ah, here you go. This is a Bronze Age mummy, and this one actually, it looks like they bound it so that it wouldn't leave this position. But yeah, I've definitely seen like bog people, mummies that were found in bogs that were seated in a position like this. Here's another one. Another female mummy in a kind of fetal position. Now, here's another thing, is that in this cave system, allegedly there's also a human-looking skull that is three times the size of a normal human skull. Ostensibly, it's a giant skull. And that hasn't been produced yet, but it's supposedly there, and they're going to produce it. They have estimated that it is something like 24 meters tall. The entire creature would be 24 meters tall, and roughly a meter is 3 feet. So calculator, 24 times 3, that would be a 72-foot tall human being, or a 72-foot tall giant. Now, obviously, you know, something like that, you know, I mean, giants are in the Bible. Nephilim are in the Bible. And you know, who's to say that these things aren't Nephilim? How do we know? We don't. Let me see. Also, thank you to Stacks for the can. Thank you to Two in the Pink for the cookie. And thank you to ATD1204 for the gold pills. Looks like Scott says, Zach, you are the OG. Thank you very much, Scott. I appreciate you. Thank you very much. Let me see. So, Kara says, I just think it makes the most sense. Part human features, part weird non-human. We know there were Nephilim wiped out in the flood. That could be their remains. Absolutely. No, I totally agree. That's a plausible explanation, especially from a biblical perspective. So, yeah, I mean, that's something that I could totally get behind. Hold on. I think that here's another one. This was a mummy. I think this is a Native American mummy, or perhaps it might be like an Inuit Eskimo, but she's also seated. Let's see. Okay. Well, I guess that's all the obvious pictures that I'm going to be able to find. All right, you guys. So that's really all I've got for you on the mummies themselves. You know, without like just watching a bunch of videos about them, that's pretty much my understanding of them, my limited understanding of them. So what I'm going to do is actually take a break for just a second, and I'm going to pull up some news from the day, because I know a couple of big things broke earlier today. And we're going to go through that live together before I close out the show. And you let me know if you want me to do calls or whatever. So be right back. Give me just a moment and I'll see you in a second. Sell in May and go away? Well, that says it all. David Brady warns the S&P 500 could nosedive to 1,000 points. And CEOs like Jamie Dimon have been warning about 1970s-era stagflation and key indicators like the Q1 GDP numbers at 1.6% or persistent inflation point to stagflation coming back to our country. And you see, the 1970s was a lost decade for the stock market. But you know what? Gold and silver, they exploded higher. And you know who understands that? China, Russia, India, and South Africa. All of their central banks' precious metals buying sprees have not slowed. Protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver and you're going to be okay. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just make sure to mention my channel, Red Pill 78, and this show, Red Pill News, and you will always get best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee-for-life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver. Just give them a call today at 888-857-6092 to get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Once again, call them today at 888-857-6092. Mention me, Zach Payne, and when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. Mother effer. Okay, well, I am unmuted now. Thank you very much. So, like I was saying, in the last 2 days, here's a brief overview of what we're going to be talking about. James O'Keefe was able to catch up with the now former CIA agent who was caught on tape getting honeypotted by a confidential undercover OMG reporter. He has, of course, you know, the normal type of confrontation that he has with him. Chris Cuomo, former CNN anchor, has admitted for the first time to suffering from a horrible injury. And you might be able to guess what that is. Looks like Lindsey Graham may have gotten hacked. Moderna, Anthony Fauci's vaccine darling, is not doing so hot now that people don't want to take the jab. And wouldn't you know it, Jeffrey Epstein's black book is up for sale and they're not going to let us know who actually is purchasing it. Fredo says, Zach is forcing us how to lip read. Thank you for this valuable lesson, Mr. Payne. Yeah, so listen, guys, if something terrible ever happens to me and I have to go live without turning my microphone on so that the invaders coming into my home don't hear me and then come and kill me, it'll be because I am lip reading. I'm getting you guys to lip read for me. That's a bad joke. It's not going to happen, but. All right, so let's begin with Jeffrey Epstein and his little black book. We had a troll in the chat last night who was saying, oh, Trump was on Epstein's list. I know that that person is probably not here tonight, but this is a point that will frequently come up. Even people who consider themselves to be patriots, I will see parroting this incorrect assertion. Let me explain to you what we have from Jeffrey Epstein. There has been no, like, definitive list which states these people abused children with Jeffrey Epstein. We have a couple of different pieces of information. Number one, we have Jeffrey Epstein's little black book. That little black book is essentially just a phone book. It's the phone number of every single person that Jeffrey Epstein ever got a phone number for. As you might imagine, it is the phone numbers of the rich and famous, the wealthy and elite in Palm Beach, and of course in New York, and you know, I guess we'll throw New Mexico in there as well, perhaps even the Virgin Islands. And it really is just a collection of phone numbers. That's what we're looking at when we're talking about Jeffrey Epstein's little black book. Jeffrey Epstein had Donald Trump's phone number in there. Now, as anybody, I think, whoever got their hands on Donald Trump's phone number, that would go into their permanent record. You know, I mean, they want to go ahead and hold on to it just in case. You never know who's going to need it. You never know when you might need it. Now, in terms of the relationship that is alleged to have existed between Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein, because they love showing that piece of video footage at Mar-a-Lago, they love showing that clip. Or the quote, rather, from Donald Trump, where he says something positive about Epstein. But then he also, in the next breath, says, you know, he likes women even more than I do, and he likes them young. I don't think that that was a compliment about Jeffrey Epstein. I think that was Donald Trump silently blowing up Jeffrey Epstein's spot by accusing him of liking young girls. Donald Trump has certainly never said that about anybody else, but he has mentioned Bill Clinton and said that, you know, he's going to have a lot of problems from that island. Now, the flight logs show every single time Jeffrey Epstein was accompanied on one of his private planes, and there were multiple private planes. The Lolita Express was not the only one, but the Lolita Express was the one that took Jeffrey Epstein and his guests to his island, his private pedophile island. The flight logs will tell you where these flights took place from, and the limited numbers of flights that Donald Trump actually was in those flight logs was just going from New Jersey down to Palm Beach. And that means Donald Trump just caught a free ride with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, this was before Jeffrey Epstein had gotten kicked out of Mar-a-Lago for inappropriately attempting to groom the young daughter of a Mar-a-Lago member. When that news became known to Donald Trump, Donald Trump banned Jeffrey Epstein from Mar-a-Lago, and he was never allowed to go back. And then when Jeffrey Epstein was under investigation in the 2007-2008, Donald Trump gave as much information as he could, not only to the feds that were doing the investigation, but also to the lawyer for Jeffrey Epstein's victims. Jeffrey, the lawyer for these victims, actually said, you know, Donald Trump was the only one who spoke with me. Nobody else wanted to talk to me. Nobody wanted to say anything bad about Jeffrey Epstein. I think that that is extremely telling, because if Donald Trump had something to hide, then what good would it do him to admit to someone who represents victims of Jeffrey Epstein that he has any information that could potentially help them, because he would be putting himself in jeopardy? So no, to any fools out there who think that Donald Trump is on Jeffrey Epstein's list of pedophiles or that he engaged in this sort of disgusting behavior, you know, you can go ahead and turn right around, because you're wrong. Now, why would someone want Jeffrey Epstein's little black book? Well, could be that they want to make it disappear. Could be that someone who's in that book, who maybe hasn't gotten the scrutiny that they deserve yet, or perhaps there are pages that have not been publicized, maybe someone would want to take that book and make it disappear into a black hole. Well, the New York Post is reporting that this book is going up for auction, and the bidders who participate in this auction are being promised that their identities will be held a secret. Now, undoubtedly, the book is going to go for a fairly large sum. They figure it's going to sell for at least $200,000. Now, it's also possible that maybe a prominent news organization or even, you know, an independent organization might purchase it so that they can go ahead and publish it. Publicly, we know that there are 349 names in total, and there are 221 of which were never listed in the more famous and widely reported Little Black Book. So I stand corrected. This is a different book. This one has not been publicized in its entirety, and it's different from the Little Black Book, which we've already seen. So a mysterious black book believed to have belonged to the late pedophile financier, which revealed the names and addresses of 221 previously undisclosed people, is going up for auction, and bidders are being assured that their identities will be kept a secret. So I guess I'm going to revise my prediction. I think it's a lot more likely that the buyer of this book is likely going to be one of those 221 people whose name has not yet been revealed, and that when that book is purchased, it will, in fact, go into a safe or a safe deposit box, and it'll be memory hold, and nobody will ever see it ever again. Fredo says, Little Black Book sounds racist and midget phobic. Yes, it certainly does. Now, stop being a bigot, Fredo, and just get on board and enjoy the show. So, this book was reportedly found on Fifth Avenue in the East Village by a female musician in the 1990s, and how it came to be there remains unclear to this day. As far as I know, they have not done any sort of, verification on this book. I mean, I suppose that the auction house must have done something to verify that it seems authentic. But how do we really know that it's authentic? I'm not sure. Maybe there were private notes from Jeffrey Epstein in it. Maybe there was something else that was extremely personal, which we can attribute to Epstein himself. But they did do an in-depth investigation by Business Insider back in 2021. And you can expect to see this book go on sale on May 15th by Alexander Historical Auctions. So keep your eyes open, because although the chances are slim, we might see this book purchased and then published and released to the public. I would certainly be keen to see what those 221 previously undisclosed names might be. All right, so let us talk about James O'Keefe and the dumbest CIA agent to ever work within Langley. This expose, you guys may have caught the show. We watched the entire 30-minute presentation. I generally don't do that, but I thought it was such a good one. We had to watch the whole thing. And the exposure of this CIA contractor was nothing short of a revelation. Now, the things he said, I think that every single one of us expected that those things were happening. And he spoke about it almost as if it was casual water cooler talk. Like, he was proud of it. He was happy to be part of an organization that would withhold sensitive national security information from the president of the United States. He said that Trump was effing stupid. He called us hicks. He called us backwards. He had a couple of key names for us. But he alleged that it wasn't just the CIA, that a number of intelligence agencies within the federal government got together and colluded with each other to withhold information from the president because they were afraid he was going to reveal it to Vladimir Putin. This was a rationale that I heard during Trump's time in office, the first 4 years. And I think that the president has the right to use national security information in his private conversations with global leaders in whatever way he wants. I don't think that there was any true danger of President Trump exposing something that, would have put us in jeopardy. And I think that it was a rather hollow excuse for them to just simply not have to give President Trump the information that would have allowed him to be successful. So let's go ahead and watch the conversation that James O'Keefe has with this now former CIA operative, because he has been fired.
Okay. And some statements you have made. You have a top secret clearance. You said that we, quote, keep information from him, Trump. You didn't say that.
I did not.
Quote, you work at the Chinese Mission Center in Langley, Virginia?
I can't tell you that.
You admitted the CIA and intelligence agencies are committing crimes?
Hello, yes. This guy works for the CIA.
I don't know. I have no. I'm not privy to any of that information. I'm not privy.
Is it you?
Yeah, looks like me.
It looks like you. Do you work at the Chinese Mission Center?
No.
Then why do you have a Chinese Mission Center lanyard?
I don't.
Rednecks who live out in the middle of the sticks. You characterize those. What does that mean, rednecks who live out
in the... It's all speculation.
It's all speculation. Is that what the talking point they give you to say? This is James O'Keefe reporting from Washington, D.C. in the Navy Yard. Wow! What an adrenaline rush.
I've had it with all my personal
okay,
private
let's skip the commercial.
Exposed. Your privacy back.
Okay.
And some statements you have made about how the CIA has been spying on Trump and withholding information from
that.
Trump. Well, we have a number of statements that you've made here.
That's unbeknownst to me.
That's what do you mean? It's unbeknownst to you?
I have no idea.
Look at these guys. These guys are just hanging out outside the coffee shop, and they're like, "Shit, that's James O'Keefe. That's him talking to that CIA operative that he got busted honeypotting." Dirk McGurkin says, "Beware of the secret information that confirms all your biases. It probably contains a payload. This has PSYOP written all over it." Well, it could be a PSYOP, obviously, but it's not being pushed by any of the standard PSYOP agencies that I would expect to see it coming from. And I look at that particular case with a totally open mind, as I do with everything else. I do my best to keep my own biases in check, except when it comes to the CIA. Here we go. Wait a second. Are you talking about this? You think this is a PSYOP? This guy getting caught is a PSYOP? Because I don't believe that at all.
I've never made any of that stuff.
You've never what?
I've never made any of those things.
Do you have a top secret clearance?
I can't tell you that. I don't know you.
Do you tell people that you have a top secret clearance?
I can't tell you that either.
Have you ever told a stranger that you have a top secret clearance?
No.
You're going to have a...
So, Fredo says, thoughts on DJT's response. Never address Pompeo. There was a major takeaway, in my opinion. Trust Kansas, not so sure these days. So I go back to what I've always said. You know, trust how? In what way are we supposed to trust? People saw that statement, and they took it to mean that we were meant to trust that name implicitly. That we should, you know, just trust that they're going to do the good guy stuff, patriot stuff. But, you know, like I've always said, I mean, are we supposed to trust them to do patriot stuff, or are we supposed to trust them to do deep state stuff so that they can expose themselves? Because from my perspective, what we've seen playing out is essentially the deep state destroying itself by exposing their methodologies and overplaying their hands over and over and over again. So Donald Trump's response to this report, essentially, you know, just stating that, hey, it's a horrible thing and it needs to be looked into and this guy's an idiot. I think that he is he's doing exactly what he's done this entire time. You know, I mean, he just, you know, he's like, oh, look at this. Look what they've done to me. You know, this is exactly what I said they did to me over and over again. And he's allowing the American people to kind of digest it. And we have reached this point, this sort of crescendo where over and over again, you know, these things are being confirmed. And it's just like, boom, hey, look at this. exactly what we knew was happening is being revealed. And as I've also said so many times, we can't fix a problem unless we can identify it and then put a name and a face to it. And what we've seen the deep state doing time and time again, as they think that they have ultimate impunity to act in whatever way they want, they continue to show the American people that this is a broken and corrupt establishment that cannot and will not survive. And the only way that we can overcome it is to demand that it end. And what better way to bring about the demise of that failed and corrupt establishment than to bring back Donald Trump, the man that they have clearly been working so hard to make sure does not come back. I think that Donald Trump has remained as low key as he possibly can while just pointing and saying, look, I told you so. Look, I told you so. Look, I told you so. He's not going to come out there and say, some overly grand statement about exactly what he's going to do. He can't overplay his hand. He can't directly tell the American people what exactly he's going to do, because if he does, then it gives them the opportunity to put a stop to it before he can even get there. So I think that the most important thing here is that we just simply bring Donald Trump back. And then once he's back, I trust that all of these issues will then be kind of, taken out with the laundry. Everything's going to self-sort. And there is planning that's been taking place in the background. But we're not going to know about it until we actually see it.
SCI with a full-scale polygraph. That means that I'm fully vetted.
You've never told a stranger that you have a top secret clearance.
They asked what I do, and I said I work in the intel community.
Here's another thing. I've said this before, and I can say it because I know people who work in the federal government. And, we've talked a lot in recent years about DEI hires. And these people are being hired for the wrong reasons. They're being hired because of metrics. Okay, because of, their what's between their legs or what they identify as or the color of their skin. They're not being hired as based on their own merits. They're not being hired based on their talent or their ability. And it's not a new phenomenon. For many years in Washington, D.C., hiring and firing decisions were based upon relationships, familial or otherwise. It's a culture of nepotism, so to speak, you get into the federal government and then you can help your friends get into the federal government. And then once you're in, you're protected. Now, obviously, this guy, as a contractor, was placed at the CIA because he was a cybersecurity professional. His OPSEC was shit, clearly. He thought that he was more important than he was, and he thought that he was protected. That means that he wasn't really thinking about the sort of grander overall themes of what's happening here. He just thought that he could do what he wanted and get away with it. Exactly what we saw happening to Donald Trump. Think about Crossfire Hurricane and all of the various Crossfire investigations that were spun off. There was no basis to it. They just thought they could get away with it. All right. It's like going back to 2016. They never thought Hillary Clinton would lose. They thought that they had it sewn up. It was in the bag. Of course they're going to win because they're the best. They're the smartest. They control the system. But they didn't count on the American people outsmarting them. And I think as we go by each day, they keep thinking that they're going to keep getting away with it. Although they may be getting more and more panicked along the way, they still ultimately believe that they have the upper hand. That may be the case. But the ingenuity and the hard work of the American people to help uncover these things is unraveling their plans. So as difficult as it is for people to believe that this guy would just look at a piece of ass, okay, and open his mouth and act really stupid, unfortunately, people give in to their baser instincts. And when you think you're protected, and that by saying something you shouldn't, it's going to get you laid, people will do some things that are potentially surprising. This is why it's so easy to compromise politicians and people that work in the federal government. This is why they use sex as a method of compromise, because people will bend their moral compass if it means that they're going to have their needs met, so to speak. But again, people get hired not because of their ability, but because of who they know or what they look like.
We had a chance to review your badge, and it's the one that you says you worked for the CIA. And you know, Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi did some reporting about the information that was held from Trump. It's actually a crime for the director of the CIA to withhold information from Trump.
I have no idea. Everything is unbeknownst to me. I don't know. I have no intel. I have no knowledge.
You said that we, quote, keep information from him, Trump. You didn't say that.
I did not.
Quote.
We kept information from him.
Say one more time.
We kept information from him.
From Trump?
Yes.
He's an idiot.
He's the biggest fucking idiot.
We kept information from
Fredo says, so odd to see the honeypotters getting honeypotted. You would think they'd know. Guys are thirsty. Exactly. And think about how many of these investigations James O'Keefe has successfully played out on these people. I mean, it should tell you something about humanity in general, okay? Because if anybody should know, it's these people working for the federal government. It's these people working for these intel agencies. They go through the type of training which is supposed to stop these things from happening, but it frequently does, and it's not a new phenomenon. It has happened throughout history. There have been many different agents who have been compromised simply because they wanted to get laid. People are stupid.
He's a fucking idiot, quote-unquote. Those are your words.
Well, I can have an opinion, but I don't know.
Can I talk? Can I sit down and talk to you for a minute about this, please?
No.
I think it's important that I get your comment.
No. Everything is untrue.
It's untrue.
I don't know. I have no idea. Why would I know?
Why would you know? Do you work? Do you work at CIA?
I can't tell you that.
Do you work at Deloitte?
Yes.
Okay. Are you a program manager at Deloitte?
Yes.
Do you work for the Chinese mission?
Keith O'Higgins, excellent point. There was testimony by a couple of different individuals who said as much, that essentially Trump was divested of power on January 6th. They just decided they weren't going to listen to him. Keith says this just reinforces the testimony that came out in the January 6th subcommittee by now Republicans. General Milley testified that they kneecapped DJT on the guard deployment. And Dirk says, you should ask yourself, what additional information or opinion about the CIA intel is being planted into our subconscious right now? You mean besides what I've said, that they are a hubristic organization, that they believe that they are smarter than they actually are? Dirk, I would love for you to tell me specifically what you think is happening. I mean, by the CIA being exposed, it portrays them in the minds of the American people as a corrupt organization that should not exist. I mean, we've had revelations about CIA actions going back decades, and they always think they're going to get away with it, and things inevitably end up coming out. I mean, think about all the classified programs like MKUltra that have been revealed. Think about the assassination of President Kennedy. Think about the efforts by the CIA to try to stop Donald Trump. I mean, I guess I would like to know anything else that you're thinking might be, being implanted in us. And I don't know why you would be. I mean, it sounds like you're supporting the CIA, or I guess maybe I'm not going to say you're supporting the CIA, but I want to know why you think that this would be a PSYOP. I mean, what specific concepts about the CIA do you think are being implanted? I am truly intrigued.
In Langley, Virginia?
I can't tell you that.
You can't tell me that. Have you told other people that?
I can't tell you that either.
You can't tell me if you've told strangers in restaurants?
I mean, I guess the only thing that I can think is that, do you think maybe the CIA is trying to make themselves look weaker than they are? Is this like a Sun Tzu type moment? Or are they trying to make themselves appear weak when they are strong? Because, I mean, I could see that as a possibility, but I also know that the CIA's strength has traditionally lied in their ability to act within the shadows. I mean, they are a clandestine organization, and by them being exposed for operating on American soil, I mean, that is outside of their charter entirely, and it's an argument for them to be banished. It's an argument for them to be completely disbanded. So again, I don't see the net negative here.
I gotta go.
You admitted the CIA and intelligence agencies are committing crimes. You withheld information from Trump. You have a top secret clearance.
I wouldn't know.
You said Mike Pompeo, the director of the CIA, withheld information from Trump. You seem to
know that.
You seem to be
James O'Keefe.
We're here with a hello. Yes, this guy works for the CIA.
The other thing is when he mentioned Pompeo, he said. Gina Haspel, yes. He said, Pompeo, I think so.
No, you don't. I've seen your badge.
Sorry.
Why did you show your badge to total strangers?
It wasn't a total stranger. It was our...
So, who was it?
There's nobody.
Okay. You said Mike Pompeo is a director of the CIA working with other heads of intelligence agencies to intentionally keep information from the president.
I don't know any of that stuff. Why would I know? I have no intel about it.
Do you have a top secret clearance?
I cannot tell you that.
Okay. Well, do you see how this is kind of we're going in circles here?
We are.
You all? Gail Time says, when did they fire him? Well, either when the report came out or when he went back to his office and he said, we have a problem. I just got honeypotted. They actually did not give a separation date. They just said, this person does not work for the CIA. Although, you know, they would not answer if he had previously worked for the CIA. And they didn't need to because he had specific information on his LinkedIn prior to that. And of course, he had his badge as well.
Said, quote, this conversation didn't happen. Strictly deny it. The intel community is still monitoring Trump and spying on him. You said, quote, we monitor everything.
I don't know. I have no. I'm not privy to any of that information. I'm not privy.
You're not privy.
Nope.
Okay.
He also admitted that the CIA is monitoring all of us all the time and that they were still spying on President Trump and that they were still spying on his ex-wife. He said we have people watching his ex-wife. I mean, that's against the law. So I just do not see why the CIA would allow for that to come out. I mean, I certainly don't see the CIA coming out after this and saying, you know, we've made mistakes. We're going to change the way we do things. They're just going to continue to lean into what they've done before, which is to say nothing at all and pretend like none of this ever happened.
Why did you say that Mike Pompeo...
Somebody was asking me questions,
mm-hmm.
and I said, I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
I said, it's unbeknownst to me.
Are you aware of Michael Schellenberger's and Matt Taibbi's reporting on the CIA? Are you familiar with that reporting?
No.
The blockbuster reporting earlier this year talking about how the intelligence agencies... intentionally withheld information from Trump.
I'm not really.
You mentioned Gina Haspel as well, director of the CIA, and Mike Pompeo both. Why did you mention Gina Haspel, sir?
Because when I was whatever, because I read everything in the Post.
We also have a
Keith says, who wouldn't think an extrovert Irishman with a glory whore fetish, it's supposed to be glory whore or glory hole, wouldn't make a perfect Mossad agent? Sounds a lot like a circled psyop circle jerking.
Video recording of you, sir, here, and I'm going to play it for you. I was hoping I could sit down with you. That's you, is it not?
So
it looks like me.
Is it you?
Looks like me.
It looks like you. He says it looks like him. He won't confirm that it's him. Did you say these things?
No. Director of the CIA.
Director of the CIA would keep.
Yes.
You didn't say this. This is not a video of you.
And how long have you been at Deloitte?
You mentioned Deloitte?
Yeah.
Lockheed Martin. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, I worked at Lockheed Martin. Not at all.
Okay. Quote, don't tell anybody.
Secrets says, I can't wait to see you in Deadwood. I can't wait to see you in Deadwood either. I will be in Deadwood later on this summer. Looking forward to it. I've never been there. Always wanted to go. I love the Wild West or approximations thereof, considering it's modern times.
I don't have anyone to tell.
Yeah. This conversation didn't happen tonight.
Of course.
I didn't strictly deny it.
Yeah.
Why don't you want...
And, you know, here's the other thing, and this is something I don't think anybody's mentioned yet. I mean, who's to say that this guy expected that this woman was ever going to have the opportunity to tell anybody about what he told her? I mean, think about the CIA's rich history of assassination. How many people do you think have been killed by the CIA throughout the entirety of its existence? Perhaps this guy thought that maybe he was going to get laid, and then after he got laid, he was just going to take care of this woman, and she would never be able to tell the secrets or the gossip, rather, that he was telling her. I think that's a totally plausible track that this could have taken.
The reporter to tell anybody what it is that you've said.
Because it's not true.
Which part isn't true, sir?
All of it.
You didn't work at Deloitte?
I did work at Deloitte.
So you just said all of it's not true, and then you're confirming some of what you said is true. I'm confused. How does this work?
I worked at Deloitte, and that's all I can say.
That's all you can say. We kept information from Trump.
I didn't.
He's an idiot.
Why would I know?
Why would you keep information from Trump? Don't give it to him.
Yeah.
I am not privy to any of that information at all.
What are you privy to?
Nothing.
You're privy to nothing?
Nope.
Why did you show the Chinese Mission Center lanyard to the person in the video? I have you on.
Gail says that's really dark, Zach. It is. But I mean, I know that. But I think that the CIA is a supremely dark and evil organization, and I would not ever put any terrible actions past their grasp. I'm positive, and I know that they have killed more people than we'll ever know. You know, certainly that's not a record that they're, you know, collating and putting out there for public consumption. But people die all the time because they come into contact with these people. I mean, it's mission critical that they fulfill their objectives. And if that means that somebody has to die as a result, I mean, that's espionage right there.
They're doing it. Do you work at the Chinese Mission Center?
No.
You don't work at... Then why do you have a Chinese Mission Center lanyard?
I don't.
You what?
Not.
What's CMC?
China Mission Center, darling.
Okay, I reckon...
Dirk, now you say, why would they risk this loose end? I mean, who's to say that they knew about it before James O'Keefe put the information out there? I mean, obviously, since he no longer is a contractor for the CIA, I mean, they've cut all ties with him. You know, at this point, the information's already out there. If they were to assassinate this guy, then that would just be far too obvious. Now, that's not to say he's not going to meet some tragic end at some point in the future when it's plausible that he could have accidentally killed himself, or he could have driven off a bridge or something like that. But to end his life so quickly in succession with this report coming out, that would just be far too obvious.
Sir, that you're limited in what it is that you can say here, but you've already said these things.
Yes, truth is out there. Look at that. You're right. I concur, Zach. 9/11 for the example. 100%. They had no problem, no qualms with killing thousands of American people. They have had no qualms about killing millions of people the world over in unnecessary conflicts that did nothing but line their own pockets.
On the record, to a journalist, you may not have known that she was a journalist, but you told her all these things. So I'd like to sit down with you and have a conversation. Can we do that?
No.
Well, you've already done that.
It wasn't with my approval or anything like that.
Well, we could have written it down with a pencil and paper, but nobody would have believed us. That's how we recorded it.
Are you kidding me?
No, he does.
Rednecks who live out in the middle of the sticks.
Some people that do love them inside.
Rednecks who live out in the middle of nowhere in the sticks.
And here's the other thing. I mean, like, that sentiment right there, I mean, that has been parroted by a number of people within the federal government, within the public admin sector. You know, I fully believe that that is exactly what they perceive us as. They believe that the American people are too stupid to govern themselves. And as a result of it, they're the ones who have to be responsible for deciding the direction of this country. Keith says, I love how O'Keefe runs a sting video into a political version of People versus Preds. Just need cops at the end refusing to arrest because of a Soros DA. Yep.
Characterize those. What does that mean, rednecks who live out?
Really, in the, no idea.
You have absolutely no idea. Okay.
I would appreciate not being followed, though.
Where are you going, sir?
I'm going to my car and I'm leaving.
Well, then we'll let you go at that point. But I think this is a really important story for Americans when their intelligence agencies are being weaponized for political purposes.
That is wrong. I've never said that. I don't.
You say all of it in the video, sir.
It's all speculation.
It's all speculation. Is that what the talking point they give you to say?
It's all speculation. I don't know.
You seem to know a lot, sir.
I don't know anything, actually.
You don't know anything?
All right, now what
do you do? Do you work at the threat assessment? Do you work in threats at the Chinese Mission Center? See, we're here in Washington, D.C. with an individual with a top secret security clearance, Deloitte Program Manager, Chinese Mission Center, saying he doesn't know, saying it's rank speculation. Of course, he can't tell us anything intentionally on the record, even though he's already made statements about rednecks who live out in the middle of the sticks. This is Amjad Fasisi, cyber operations in the CIA. We're in Washington, D.C. Sir, it's also not on your LinkedIn page that you work for the CIA. It just says Deloitte. You make a comment about that in the video, and you say that you can't put CIA on the page.
Does it say the CIA on your LinkedIn?
No.
All right, so I stand corrected. I apologize. That was fake news for me. It only gave his official employer and did not specifically say CIA.
We can't do that.
Sir?
Sir?
I'll tell you what. He parked like a CIA operative, though. He parked so far away so that just in case he was followed, he could make his circuitous route back to his car. I bet you there were chalk marks all along the way, too.
Right, he's taking his license plate down there. You can see Amjad Fasisi in the CIA, cyber operations. Rednecks who live out in the middle of the sticks. Here we go. This is James O'Keefe reporting from Washington, D.C. in the Navy Yard, the much gentrified Navy Yard, thanks to your taxpayer dollars. Wow, what an adrenaline rush. Insane. There you have it, folks. Amjad Fasisi, CIA. Can't comment, rank speculation. I don't know what I'm talking about. I can neither confirm nor deny, but confirmed a lot in this video recording. It's Monday. It's, what time is it? 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to go meet with lawmakers ahead of
bad people used to live here.
Bad people used to. Who's bad?
Black people used to live. But
black people used to live here. As you can see, we're in the Navy Yard. They're gentrifying. Get a shot of that building right there. It used not to be a nice area, but now it's a very nice area. Yuppies everywhere around us. Reporting from Washington, D.C., this is James O'Keefe with O'Keefe Media Group, exposing the CIA.
In today's unpredictable world.
All right. That was quite the confrontation. I absolutely love to see that. All right. So let us also talk about the evidence tampering with Jack Smith and the FBI in President Trump's so-called classified documents case. Now, we learned this past week through the unsealing of a variety of filings coming from Judge Eileen Cannon that the specific boxes that the FBI were looking for had originated from a group of boxes that President Trump was contacted about having left at the White House. And those boxes were then shipped to Virginia. Virginia, which is, of course, the home of Langley, which is, of course, the home of the CIA. Now, after they were shipped to Virginia, we don't know exactly where, they were then sent to President Trump at Mar-a-Lago. So it's likely that the specific documents the FBI and Jack Smith are referencing were documents that were planted in President Trump's personal belongings. President Trump himself has said that it's all a setup. So on Friday evening, Jack Smith had responded to a filing from President Trump's co-defendant Walt Nauta. Now, Walt is the driver for President Trump, who he and his lawyer claim that there was an attempt to bribe his lawyer into getting Walt Nauta to testify against President Trump and take a plea deal, and that if the lawyer was to do that, then the lawyer would likely see himself elected as a judge. Cranop says, good evening, Zach. Hopping now. Good stuff, my friend. Thank you so much. I appreciate you being here. So, Walt Nauta, former White House employee, Navy veteran. He worked with President Trump. He was a personal staffer at Mar-a-Lago. He was indicted at the same time as President Trump. And in that motion filed late Friday, Jack Smith admitting something very troubling, something that probably will not surprise anyone here. We've seen how the government, state and federal, also local, I'm not going to call any of them out specifically, but they seem to have a penchant for keeping sloppy records when it comes to chain of custody. Evidence tampering is a very serious allegation. And if evidence is not given the proper chain of custody, people have gotten off of murder raps for that very specific faux pas on behalf of the investigators or behalf of the prosecutors. So Jack Smith admitted that the FBI messed with the boxes containing those so-called classified documents that they seized from President Trump, and they can't be sure of the order or the placement of the documents. Fredo says O'Keefe has balls of steel. I love that guy. And as it pertains to Kyle Serafin, you can take the boy out of the Fed, but you can't take the Fed out of the boy. We were duped. Sad that Bongino gave him cred. Yes, there is a lot that can be said about Kyle Serafin. You know, personally, I prefer to just continue mission forward and moving on. People tell you exactly who they are eventually. And I do believe that James O'Keefe is doing good work. And I think that it was far too coincidental that a personal private attack against James O'Keefe came just on the eve of James releasing this bombshell report about an FBI, excuse me, about a CIA contractor who was honeypotted. Keith says, well, if the agent got caught by a Chinese honeypot, a female, he probably ordered miso honey and not some young guy. Yeah, it was definitely a woman. Miracle Girly said, I just realized you're doing all the news on the fly. Much respect. Very impressive. Thank you so much, Miracle Girly. Yes, considering the fact that my guest never showed up, I'm just going to, well, I'll leave the Zoom call open until the end of the show. Yeah, I'm just going to do some news so that I can cover some of the things that otherwise wouldn't be able to. But in this May 1st filing, the attorney for Walt Nauta claimed that he had difficulty in cross-referencing the materials in the classified and unclassified discovery. Why is that? Well, it's because certain items in those seized boxes were reviewed in a different order from where they appear in the scans of those boxes' contents that were actually produced in discovery. Again, chain of custody and the order of this evidence is highly important, very, very relevant to the case, because the government has to present the crimes that are allegedly committed by the defendants and be able to show exactly what they found. If the FBI and Jack Smith's investigators played around with this stuff in any way, who's to say that they didn't insert documents or evidence that would be more damaging to the defense? I think it's highly likely that they did. They just want to bring down President Trump and anybody in his orbit. I'll be really honest with you. This particular bit of news that has just been revealed, this could be enough to completely destroy the government's classified documents case against President Trump. And Judge Eileen Cannon just may dismiss everything with prejudice. Now, because this is a late night filing coming from Jack Smith, his response, this is not going to be something that Eileen Cannon is going to rule on or respond to until next week. So I'm keen to see what she actually says when this comes out. So, let's see. The evidence was in an incorrect order. Jack Smith, in this Friday night filing, in his response, admitted that the FBI had moved those classified documents around. Now, if you take a look at the footnotes in the motion as reviewed by the Gateway Pundit, the FBI had ended up messing with these boxes containing the so-called classified documents that they seized from the estate at Mar-a-Lago. And the DOJ had previously assured the court that the placement of classified documents as originally found would be in the evidence. And as such, that means that they flat out lied. If they're willing to lie about the placement of the evidence and the actual, you know, messing around of it by the FBI, the question then becomes, what else are they willing
to lie about. So in footnote 3, the government acknowledges that this is inconsistent with what government counsel previously understood and represented to the court. Judges, I will tell you this, judges also really don't like it when either the defense or the prosecution lies to them about anything as important as the condition, state, or organization of that evidence. And again, if they're willing to lie about this, what else is it that they're willing to lie about? So in this filing, the government responding to the court's question of whether the boxes were in their original intact form as seized, there's a reason Judge Cannon would ask that question. They stated they are, with one exception, and that is that the classified documents have been removed and placeholders have been put in the documents. Now, the DOJ back in August of 2022 lied to the court when they claimed that these red, blue, and yellow sheets that you see in this photograph here, that viral photo that the FBI agents staged at Mar-a-Lago, these placeholders are meant to take the place of those classified documents, and the color scheme on them indicate their exact classification status. You can see that the red is secret, SCI, the yellow is top secret, TSCI, and then the blue we don't actually see in this photograph. When this photograph initially came out, we found very quickly that this was a staged scene. The FBI just laid all of these documents around and then took the photograph. It would look more damaging, and then they'd be able to enter that into evidence. Look at this. Trump is so careless. He just leaves classified documents, secret, top secret information laying around. Anybody at Mar-a-Lago could be there for a wedding. They could walk in and see it. Fredo says, Zach is the consummate professional, one of the best on the interwebs. Thank you, bro. I made a stream that had the guest flake into an informative and entertaining watch. Happy Cinco de Mayo, Manuel. Manuel? Either way, happy Cinco de Mayo to you, too. We're about to be there. Thank you to Stacks for dropping a can over at Pilled. Thank you to Sean Joe for the cookie. Nikaz 808 as well. Thank you again to Sean Joe. EO2 Dave, thank you for the ship, brother. I appreciate you. Sean Joe dropped a cookie. Filter Dog, thank you for the can. Sean Joe dropped another cookie. Raisin Cane, thank you for the can. Patriot 714 says, we appreciate you sticking with us. Thank you, Zach. And Texas Little Red dropped a can. You guys are the best. Sabrado, good to see you, Sabrina. She says, Zach is a badass in the future of news. You have set up an amazing platform. Great job. And when you're gone, it's a challenge to get my daily dose. Thank you for everything you do, Patriot Treasure. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. I want to let you guys know right now that I'm not certain if I'm going to be doing RPN Live on Monday, because my daughter will be leaving the next day. And I will, you know, we're going to Universal tomorrow, and I want to spend as much time with her as I can before we leave. So it depends on what she is going to be doing. If she wants to go do something else, then I'll definitely be here. But I will let you guys know on that day. Thank you very much, everybody, for the generous support tonight. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you hanging out with me, despite the fact that my guest was a no-show. So, in regards to these placeholders, they're called slip sheets, that the FBI used to replace the so-called classified material. When the FBI did that, they admitted that they messed with Trump's documents. They used these cover sheets as placeholders for those documents, and it was stated by the FBI, after the boxes were brought to the WFO, the FBI created an index to correlate the documents with classification markings to codes, e.g. document BB, and labeled the classified cover sheets in the boxes with the codes for the seized documents. The FBI also generally replaced the handwritten sheets with classified cover sheets annotated with the index code. But regardless, any handwritten sheets that currently remain in the boxes do not represent additional classified documents. They were just not removed when the classified cover sheets with the index code were added. In many but not all instances, the FBI was able to determine which document with classification markings corresponded to a particular placeholder sheet. That would be impossible if those documents were no longer in the correct order. Now, Jack Smith also claimed that the FBI had found so many classified documents that they ran out of slip sheets. The investigative team used classified cover sheets for that purpose until the FBI ran out because there were so many classified documents, at which point the team began using blank sheets with handwritten notes indicating the classification level of the documents. That seems like a laughable assertion. The FBI ran out of materials. They ran out of supplies. They didn't bring enough trapper keepers with placeholders. I tend to doubt that. Yet another reason to throw out this sham prosecution, Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch said in response to the filing. Keith O'Higgins says 17 black squares exposed on ruler measuring square. Count them. Okay, I'll take a look. Fredo says, take Monday off. Your daughter is more important. Well, thank you very much, Fredo. I sincerely appreciate it. Let's see. Oh, yes, North Star 7. That photograph was also photoshopped. It's fake in so many different ways. So again, I want to really stress the importance of this story because this is the type of error made by a prosecution that could easily have the judge toss the case with prejudice so that it could not be brought again in the future. Because as the evidence itself was not preserved correctly, and the FBI has already lied in discovery and to the court, there's no way that they can go back to the way that it was when it was initially found. Who's to say that there was any classified material in there to begin with? Perhaps every single document that the FBI claims was included in these sheets was simply something that they brought themselves to plant on President Trump at Mar-a-Lago on that day. I mean, the FBI and the DOJ and the National Records Association, I mean, they had all already been out there on a number of occasions. And if we go back to the statement from the beginning that each and every one of these documents that they were searching for, the provenance of them was a series of boxes that the federal government called President Trump and said, you need to take these documents. That seems to me just to be just another classic example of how this is a setup. And I sincerely cannot wait to see the minds of these morons explode when this case is dropped and when President Trump is able to just continue on with his life in the way that he should be able to. We've got the Supreme Court case Fisher versus the DOJ. That could remove the obstruction charges and any sort of danger in the January 6th case. We have the fact that there's been this major error in the classified documents case. That could see that go away. We also have the Supreme Court presidential immunity case. I mean, that could take care of everything. And then if you go to New York, Alvin Bragg still, even though we've gone through a full week of a testimony and, more than a week of testimony, they still have been unable to show in any meaningful way that a single crime was committed by Donald Trump or that anybody else in his organization have committed a crime. So I think we're looking really good here right now. Sean Joe says, you are the best, Zach. Thank you very, very much, brother. I appreciate you. You're the best. You're the best. Let's see. Okay. Yes, I do mean real judges, FU222. Yes. And the reason that I am speaking this confidently is because Judge Eileen Cannon appears to be a real judge. The other judges in those cases, Judge Juan Marchand, New York, is clearly compromised. He is biased and he hates President Trump. The jury is the real wild card in that case. Judge Tanya Chutkan in D.C., she's clearly compromised. She hates President Trump, but at the very least, she's given him a stay on the case until after that presidential immunity decision. And likely the Fisher case is going to come perhaps even before then. The case down in Georgia, the Fannie Willis case, Judge Scott McAfee. You know, he's done everything but what he was supposed to do, which was to drop this at the beginning. However, I think that there are going to be additional errors that come from Fannie Willis and her prosecution team. Yes, I mean, if you're looking at this as a plan, as some sort of organized effort to prove that the deep state is corrupt, compromised, and our judicial system is in as much need of an overhaul as the intelligence community, I think they're doing a pretty good job of showing their ass to the American people, so to speak. All right. So getting back to a couple of today's stories, Chris Cuomo, who recently did a surprising interview with Tucker Carlson. It was kind of a double interview. I want to be very clear here. I'm not glorifying Chris Cuomo. I'm not a Chris Cuomo fan. I think the interview did humanize him, and it showed him to be kind of an insecure man, somebody who is desperately in need of being liked by other people. You know, I think that's telling. I think you guys probably could have picked up on that before. But when somebody admits something like that about themselves, I think that there's value in it, certainly. Well, Chris Cuomo has just announced that he himself has a vaccine injury. That's right. Chris Cuomo was injured by the very COVID-19 clot shot that he advocated the American people take. Let's see what happened. It came during an in-depth interview with a nurse practitioner, a man by the name of Sean Barcavage. He's also featured in a New York Times article discussing similar vaccine-related injuries. Something I never thought I would hear myself say, the New York Times covering vaccine injuries from the COVID-19 clot shot. But this interview with Barcavage includes a conversation where he shared his own alarming experience with vaccine side effects that began just a couple of minutes after he got his very first dose back in 2020. Those symptoms included heart palpitations when he stood. He got numbness around various parts of his body. He had a persistent tingling feeling that quickly spread from his arm to his face and his eyes. And then it just got worse after his second dose. Some people are just gluttons for punishment. One dose isn't enough. They need that second one to say, oh my God, all of those terrible symptoms I felt the first time really were from that vax shot, that clot shot, that poison, that biological weapon they gave me. So we know that vaccines can have unintended consequences, aka side effects. But nobody's really talking about it because they're too afraid of blame and they just want it to go away. That's right. People like Chris Cuomo are afraid of the peanut gallery, the woke mob coming after them and calling them a conspiracy theorist or saying, you know, they're not welcome in the club anymore because they've admitted something that so many other people already are aware of. You know, I am happy to discuss vaccine injury. I mean, I'm saddened by it, but I think it's a subject that needs to be discussed. And I bravely salute the people who have the courage to talk about this, because every single one of them, every single vaccine injured person that I've ever met started out as a proponent of vaccines. They thought that vaccine injuries were conspiracy theories. They thought that it was something that did not happen and that the people who were reporting them must have had something wrong with them. You know, what a terrifying experience it is to realize that everything people told you was true and that you just made the worst mistake of your life. There are people in the audience who I know are vaccine injured, and my heart goes out to them. I hate seeing that happen. But when you are the victim of something like this, it's time to put away any semblance of pride or any sort of pretense that you might have, any fear about talking about it. You've got to talk about it. You've got to be open. You've got to be honest, because you could be the reason that somebody else doesn't end up having the same horrible experience that you have been forced to endure. So the problem is people like Sean and me, Chris said, and millions of others who still have weird stuff with their blood work and their lives and their feelings physically are not going away. As soon as I was injured, 15, 20 minutes into my first dose, I experienced a numbness and tingling down my injected arm, which then spread over the day to my face and to my eyes. I consulted a neurologist who ran some tests and remarked, well, this is all new. We don't know much about it, but the hospital is going to mandate it. You should get a second dose. Everything in my medical mind and in my bones was telling me, no, if you have a reaction to something, don't do it again. However, the pressure was immense. And this is another aspect of the human condition. People want to belong. People are followers overall. I think that the audience here, you guys are you're different than the average person because you're not necessarily likely to be influenced easily by someone into doing something that you know is bad for you. Fredo says, I'm still working, sixth day in a row, and I have to close tomorrow. This stream was much needed. Thank you, Zach. Enjoy your time with your daughter, and mañana is mañana in Espanol, means tomorrow. Love you, man. Oh, okay, so I think that It spell checked you and it didn't say mañana. Okay, I got you. Yes, I will have a great day today. Thank you very much. Look at this. Laura says, I had three family members die of turbo cancer of the reproductive system after the D-pop shot. You know what, you guys, this is a perfect time to mention I had a subscriber. I'm not going to mention them by name because I don't want to dox them or their family. But I had a subscriber reach out and tell me a horrifying piece of information about something that had happened to their family. Hold on, I just need to find the note that I had taken because this is just awful. Okay, that's not it. I need to delete the ones. Oh, I also need to say thank you to Lewis. Thank you to Tina. Thank you to Ashley. Thank you to Donna and also Hayden and Hunter. They had sent some mail. So, and to Kelly. Thank you very much, Kelly. I saw her in person, but thank you, Kelly. And thank you to all of you. Dang it. Where is it? Okay. Wow. Why can't I find it? Well, essentially, last year I lost my 51-year-old cousin to myocarditis. They were jabbed. Then in September, his father, my uncle, also died. And then April 1st, their youngest daughter died too. So three people in the same family, all jabbed, died in close succession with one another. What do you want to bet they all got jabbed on the same day? I'm guessing they were all jabbed. Crazy. And most people I know, I have had so many people die in my circles in the past couple of years. And that said, my aunt just reached out to me and told me this about her daughter that had just died. It's been over 3 weeks. Other than redacting that name, it's been difficult since I have a lot to take care of for something. However, I couldn't get it. Oh, this is the aunt. The aunt is in Chicago. And she's saying that it's been really difficult because, like, the daughter, the son, the husband, they all died. And she couldn't get a death certificate from Chicago. You want to know why? Because the Cook County clerk died. The person who was supposed to give her that death certificate when her husband died, they died too. What do you want to bet they were also jabbed? And they didn't have anybody else in that office who either could or knew how to issue that death certificate. So she was unable to do anything with her husband's estate or with the accounts or anything like that because there was no one in the state who could help get the affairs done because they couldn't prove that he had died. They couldn't get any of the corresponding information. Completely unbelievable. And then she is also vaccine injured herself. So just absolutely shocking that it's that it happens like this. But all right. So getting back to Mr. Barkavage, I thought that there would be people ready to help me after my injury. Sorry, buddy. No, they completely abandoned you. I reached out to political representatives, the NIH, the CDC, the FDA, but I received no answers. No one wanted to touch it. So with medical professionals in the U.S. offering no assistance or no help to anybody who's vaccine injured, this guy Barkavage took his quest international. He ended up sending his blood samples to Germany, and it was there that he found scientists who were willing to help him out in his investigation. So he got connected with these German scientists who were willing to look into it for him, and it showed that he had developed several autoantibodies. So the scientists believe that these autoantibodies are related to the positional tachycardia that was mentioned, and that positional tachycardia causes his heart to spike every time he stands up. The autoantibodies resemble those that are seen in people with long COVID, although I never contracted the virus. And this was confirmed through immunological studies of his blood. They found no viral antibodies. So his expectation of support from his pro-vaccine colleagues, the people that he worked with and the people who pressured him to get the jab, he thought that they would help him out, but instead he found something completely different. He said, I thought my pro-vaccine colleagues who championed me would lift me up and help me. Instead, they turned around, dismissed, denied, and tried to censor and bury me. Think about all the people who are vaccine injured and previously were among those who were doing the censoring, who were doing the dismissing, who were the ones turning around. Now they're on the same side as us, guys. Now they're looking around and saying, you know, who can I talk to about this? And it's us. It's the people who already were aware of the dangers of these things. I mean, I think we probably have more references and we have more resources for somebody like this guy than the doctors at the hospital that he worked at, who basically just said, well, you're crazy if you think you're vaccine injured. Fredo said, I'm almost glad the guest didn't show. I hope he's okay, but awesome stream. We'll share with all of my porn bot followers on Twitter. I have quite a few. Don't be jelly, all. I'm going to have to make a new thumbnail now, though. I'll just take Jaime off, and I'll just put one of those mummies on there instead. So thank you, Fredo. Appreciate you, brother. He argues that his situation is exacerbated by the political implications of vaccine side effects. He said, they're afraid that by showing my face, I will drive vaccine hesitancy. Well, hopefully he will. But what they don't realize, and what I've come to realize, is that the censorship and concealment are actually fueling vaccine hesitancy. Can you imagine being someone who was damaged by a vaccine, then you come to find out that there's no resources, nobody wants to help you, everybody is turning away from you, they treat you like you're crazy, and you're still telling people to get jabbed? My goodness. So he had some critique for the Biden regime and the way they handled vaccine reactions. He says that there should be a transparent approach. I mean, I agree. Yeah, I mean, people should have the knowledge of just how dangerous these things are, and they should know about all of the various side effects. I find it so difficult still to believe that there are people who haven't heard about this in one way or another. But there is a rather large portion of the population who is predisposed to dismiss it because of the sort of brainwashing that they've gone through. Miracle Gurley says, are people taking the spike detox from McCullough? I know people definitely are, and I've heard of them taking it, but I haven't taken it myself. It's actually something that I've been considering getting recently, because every single time I come into contact with somebody who's been jabbed, Lisa and I both, like, we both have symptoms, and we feel like shit, to be perfectly honest with you. So if the government had just said, hey, these are novel vaccines, there will be reactions, let's set up a program to handle them, establish a fund, and oblige the manufacturers to provide help or research, I think the citizens would have appreciated that. They certainly would have. But also, you know, they might have said, hey, this is not worth it. However, there were so many people who thought that the world was going to end because COVID-19 was going to be the next Spanish flu. And of course, it never was. So there's a lot of Americans out there who have been censored, who have been shut down. They've had their accounts banned by major social media platforms. They've had their posts tagged as misinformation or disinformation. And it creates this sort of insulation where people are unable to find, excuse me, they're unable to find those people out there who have the information to help them or who might be able to offer some sort of advice. But at the same time, it magnifies the people who are trying to find those. You know, you end up looking harder for someone who can tell you something. And as a result of it, you come to find a show like this, or you find any number of other podcasts that are out there. But again, my heart goes out to the people who are desperate to get answers and who may not even make it to the finish line because they've been lied to so much and they've had the information hidden from them, and they don't even know what's going on. They just think, hey, I woke up this morning and after getting the COVID-19 clot shot, and suddenly my heart doesn't work and I'm developing multiple sclerosis and half my face is numb. But hey, I guess that's just what's supposed to happen. Now, this is what Chris Cuomo said. Sean, I can't help you because I'm no clinician. I'm sick myself, but I'm working with people who are working on this. So I'll make sure that we're in touch right after the show, and I'll help you any way that I can. You may be ahead of me. I'll connect you with my clinicians, and maybe you can share different protocols and things that may help, but I will never stop reporting on this. This is the first time I've heard Chris report on this, and I guess I would like to see him reporting on it to an even deeper degree. All I'm doing is just beating the drum for a 9/11 style commission to figure out what worked and what didn't and what questions need to be answered, because it's not over. That is a very worthwhile thing. You know, people love to attack President Trump and say he pushed the jab. They never, ever mention the fact that he pushed hydroxychloroquine. I mean, that was what he pushed first. All right. And he said that people wanted a jab. And so they fast tracked a jab because they already had a jab. All right. Don't let them tell you that President Trump had anything to do with the development of any of these jabs. They had them waiting in the wings. They wanted to scare America. They wanted to shut the country down. They wanted to stop President Trump's gains. They wanted to make people so afraid, thinking that there were no other treatments available to them and that a jab was the only thing they could do so they could depopulate the United States and the rest of the world. President Trump was out there talking about hydroxychloroquine. I just shared a clip earlier today on my Twitter that I encourage you to go look at. He's talking about hydroxychloroquine. He's like, why won't you guys talk about it? You know, why are you covering it up? There's no dangers to this. All right. He spoke about it in his press conferences. People may not remember. He did press conferences every single day. And people never clip the parts where he's like, hydroxychloroquine is a great drug. It's highly safe and effective. You need therapeutics. You need something that's going to cure you. He said, I want that even more than I want a vaccine. But people love to have somebody to blame. All right. And it's not President Trump that you should be blaming. It's Anthony Fauci. It's the other pharmaceutical industrial complex goons, the demons working at Moderna and Novartis and Johnson & Johnson. Those are the people who you need to blame. You need to blame Bill Gates. You need to blame any of the politicians who were out there telling you that you were going to be safe if you took a COVID-19 clot shot and that you wouldn't develop COVID-19 and you wouldn't die. Donald Trump never mandated COVID-19 clot shots. He allowed humans to use their own free will after telling them over and over again that hydroxychloroquine and chlorine dioxide, okay, they said, Trump told you to drink bleach? No, he mentioned chlorine dioxide, which is antiviral, antimicrobial. I can't remember the other one. Sorry. Anyways, chlorine dioxide is great for a lot of things, and I've been taking this for a couple of years now, and I know that other people in the audience do too. I give it to my dogs. Incidentally, you can get chlorine dioxide by heading on over to one of the sponsors of tonight's program. That's my friends over at OnenessDrops.com, and I can get that pulled up on the screen here if only everything worked the way it was supposed to. Head on over to OnenessDrops.com and use code RP78 while you're there. If you use code RP78, you're going to get 15% off of your chlorine dioxide. You can make nasty, unsafe drinking water safe and clean to drink, and you can also take care of bacteria, viruses, all kinds of microbes, and it will help you out. Incidentally, mentioning the diatomaceous earth earlier in the evening, we're talking about it being a natural organic insecticide. If you have parasites in your body, you can also eat diatomaceous earth, and it will also clear those bugs out of your stomach by doing the exact same thing that I mentioned outside in the environment. It'll also do it inside your body. I used to mix it with yogurt, and I would eat it with yogurt. It's a great way. It's a, you know, as part of a parasite protocol, it's something that works great. All right. So clearly this is a very ironic case. Chris Cuomo like made fun of people. He was divisive. He basically pushed all of the same propaganda that the rest of the mainstream media pushed on America. And for him to be somebody who also was injured, I feel like there is a certain amount of justice in there for that to be the case. Keith O'Hagan says we should reframe the COVID shot as the TikTok clot shot. That blame goes to origin and mindset of recipients, Asian ignorant guinea pigs. TikTok clot shot. I think I can get behind that. TikTok clot shot. There was definitely a lot of TikTok nurses that were out there pushing it. All right, you guys, I think we're going to go ahead and call it there because it's been 2 hours. And we've got to drive to Universal tomorrow. I got a couple of hours in the car and we need to get there fairly early. So let's see if I have any more thank yous. Yes, I do have a couple of thank yous to give over here at Pill. Thank you to Texas Little Red for that can. Sean Joe for the cookie. Average Joe Patriot, my brother from another mother, says cheers and much love. Thank you again, Sean Joe, for another cookie. Esther G13 says time with family is of the utmost importance. Love you, Zach. I love you too, Esther. Always good to see you out there. And Patriot 714 says stop saying vaccinated. People have been poisoned. Well, to be fair, when I'm talking, when I was talking about vaccines, I was talking about a whole category of shots. I wasn't only talking about the COVID-19 clot shot. So, you know, a lot of times, Patriot 714, when I'm up here talking, it's a lot of stream of consciousness, and I will try to correct myself when I have certain things, but undoubtedly, I'm just going to be saying things as they would naturally come out of my mouth, and sometimes it's needs to be reframed. But regardless, vaccines is just a word that encompasses the idea of something being injected into you. And for many different occasions, they are biological weapons, they are poison, and they are not what they appear to be, either at definition or description. So thank you very much, everybody, for hanging out with us tonight. I love you, and I hope that you had a good time, despite the fact that my guest did not show up. Let me go ahead and end the Zoom call, because I'm pretty sure he's not going to be here. And until next time, good luck and God bless. I'll let you know whether or not we're going to be live on Monday. I will let you know on Monday. So here is the show. I'm going to pass out these gold pills and wish us luck at Universal tomorrow. Good luck. God bless. We'll see you next time. At least 123 likes over on Facebook. We've got 80 comments, which is a much better ratio than what you guys are doing for me on Rumble. I need you. I need you, y'all. I need your help if we're going to hit that leaderboard. Thank you.